This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let me tell you what you guys are missing right now on the live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the fan upstate on YouTube,
no,
the Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch. What you guys are missing right now, we were having a conversation with Madcraft because, you know, when Lonzo reads the Sports Flash and during random breaks, I'll get up and leave the room. And I have other responsibilities at this job, which I go take care of, or if I got to make a phone call or send a text or whatever I have to do. And yes, I do have to do that sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning. I leave the room to do that because there's some stuff I'm not going to do or discuss on the stream that has to do with my real job and my adult life outside of this room. So Madcraft came on and he's like, I wonder what Rob does during those breaks. Well, the answer is be an adult, unfortunately. I come in here, I get to goof off as the adolescent brain that I am, but when I got to do real world adult stuff, I go over to the fortress of nerditude and take care of it during the break. And then there's other stuff I do. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I got an exercise band in there. About every three segments, I'll go out there and rep out 20 curls, all right? I'm trying to get the arms back up because when springtime rolls around and we bring back Tank Top Thursday, I'd like to be able to look at myself on the stream and not go, oh, you piece of crap, all right? Okay. So, like, I'm in there hitting some curls.
So that's why you eliminated Tank Top Thursday?
I didn't participate in it. The last couple I did, I was like, what? Like, how are you that fat but also have twig arms, man?
It's the underneath part.
It moves too. Wobbles back and forth.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'll go do some curls or in, you know, you gotta hit the head every now and then. Madcraft's like, oh, Rob Brown must have that coffee controlling his time in the mornings. No, I don't. I wish it was a coffee guy. I've tried every type of coffee, hot coffee, warm coffee, cold coffee, iced coffee, cappuccinos, mochaccinos, espressos, straight jet fuel, black coffee. I've tried all the coffees. I'm just not a coffee guy. It's just not meant for me. My taste buds reject it. You are
skirting the main
thing. I'm getting there.
Okay.
It's called setup. I got to set up the people.
All right.
So we were having a conversation to which I said, I wish I liked coffee, right? Because the only thing I found that I actually like that helps is energy drinks, and obviously they ain't great for you, so I'm trying to cut back on those. I had two Monsters all last week. I used to come in here and drink like two, three during this show. I had two last week. I had one this morning only because I bought one for the game yesterday. I didn't drink it. I left it in the fridge. As I was leaving this morning, I was like, I might as well just get this out of the fridge. But outside of that, switch to the iced coffee. So I was saying, I really wish I could like coffee because I feel like if I did like coffee, my life would be easier. However, and this is where we got sideways. Where we got sideways was I then admitted that Rob Brown has started taking a fiber supplement because I'm 90. I've started taking a fiber supplement, and I mean it. My life has gotten so much better just because I started on Metamucil. Like, I understand. And those of you that are youngsters, Because I know there's some youngsters in the Armada. Every now and then somebody come and be like, oh, I got to listen in the car with my dad in the morning or whatever. Those of you that are youngsters, you're going to be me. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be staring 40 years old in the face, and there's going to be things that change, okay? I used to stay up late and watch Sunday Night Football every single week. I was in bed and asleep at 7:45 last night because I was just dog-ass tired. I used to run for hours and hours and hours. I had 2 hockey games this weekend, and I was ready to die last night. I was out at 7:45, all right? I put fiber supplements into my daily routine, and I'm going to tell you right now, my life's better for it. When I was going through and getting ready for the wedding, and I was trying to drop the LBs, I was trying to lose some poundage, somebody came to me and they said, Rob Brown, you knock some fiber into your diet. Either eat a whole lot of broccoli, all right, or try a fiber supplement. I was like, you know what, I'll try it. So I got me a big old barrel of Metamucil. I started every morning. I make myself a little bottle of water, and I put a fiber supplement, shake it up real good, drink that thing. I'm going to tell you right now, boy, does it help you drop weight, and I mean that quite literally. I mean, you knock some fiber into the diet, and you can go ahead, and you can set the watch. You can set the morning appointment with the privacy room, all right? Babe, don't text me from like 5:15 to 5:30, because I'm going to be in there taking care of business. I'm telling you, if you have not added a fiber supplement to your diet in what is perhaps the oldest take I've ever had on the radio, I feel like if the AARP is listening right now, I'm going to be getting some mail in the mailbox today.
They've already been texting me. So, I mean,
I know, but you actually are old. I'm just pretending. All right. Yeah. All right. Put a fiber supplement in your diet, and I promise you.
By the way, to a 15-year-old, you are old.
I know that. To a me, I'm old, and I'm aware. I'm just
to
accepting.
A 25-year-old, you're old.
I was last week. I was having a little bit of a mental challenge last week. All right, I was not my best version of myself. I was kind of a grumpy old man. I was kind of in my feels, a little seasonal sadness kicking in. All right, I just wasn't my happy go lucky self. And on Friday night, I'm like, I got to get out of the house. I took the lady. We got in the car. We went down and we saw the Christmas lights at the Greenville Zoo. All right. I was like, let's go see some animals. Let's go see some Christmas lights. Let's go feel good about our life. So we packed it up. We went down there. We're on the drive back. And she's like, hey, are you okay? You don't seem like yourself. And I'm like, hey, it's fine. I got a little mental block going on right now. I'll snap out of the funk.
All
right,
what
I'll
snap out of the funk. What he meant to say was Lonzo.
No, it wasn't you. It was just one of those weeks where it's like, she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. Seasonal depression. I don't know what it is. I'm just in my own head. All right. It happens. I'm going to get out of it. I promise. She's like, what do you need? I'm like, I don't know. And she looks at me and she goes, is it because you're almost 40 and you're just having a tough time with that? And I was like, first of all, shut up. First of all, shut your mouth. But sincerely, no.
Wait, that's next month, isn't it?
No, it's February. End of February. End of February, I turn 40 years old.
It's practically next month.
Yeah. It's close enough, it might as well be. But I said, no, it's not that, because honestly, like, I've made peace with being 40. It doesn't, like, at 35, being 40 was horrifying. At 39 and 3/4, I'm like, 40. Like, it's no different than 39, right? It is what it is. Except for, then we started talking about the fact that in my morning routine now is my box of prescription pills I have to take, my daily vitamin I have to take, and my fiber supplement. And she's like, you've changed. I'm like, yeah. And yet I still love you. You better be grateful, because the way you're talking to me right now is disrespectful. All right? Disrespectful. And I won't stand for it. But yada, yada, yada. That's enough about me. What do you say we talk about? Not you, sports. What do you say we get to the top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this AM? What do you say we get to today's water cooler cheat sheet? Water cooler cheat sheet, top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. Texter said, Rob is on the back 9. Screw you, buddy. I'm young. I still got it. All right.
I'll say, if anyone's on the back 9, that would be me.
Yeah.
That would be me for sure. So,
yeah. I might be old, but I'm not as old as Lonzo. Why are you coming after me, dog? That's disrespectful. Guys, is it hot in here? Is it just me? I'm just heated up now.
Did you really just say that?
Yeah. I'm heated up now.
Hey, is it hot in here or is it just me? How you doing?
Item number 1. We conclude the NFL week this evening, week number 15, with a pair of Monday Night Football games tonight. The Bears and the Vikings kick off at 8 o'clock at 8:30. Just after that, the Falcons and the Raiders. But we had quite a bit of storylines yesterday that we will get to later today. But here are the headlines. 21-7, Kansas City knocks off Cleveland yesterday. Two stories came out of that. Number one, Jameis Winston, not good at football, sent to the bench. But number two, and this one's going to be interesting, Patrick Mahomes leaves this game midway through the fourth quarter with an ankle injury. Now, Patrick Mahomes said two things after the game. Number one, he said he is uncertain about his status on Saturday because the next Chiefs game is Saturday at 1 p.m. He is uncertain about his status on Saturday. He did, however, also add that he believes that that was a close game and they needed him. He could have gone out there and toughed it out. He could have took that little shot in the locker room and got back out there and toughed it out. Andy Reid said the same thing. When asked then, why did you go with Carson Wentz? He said, look, because we needed to get Carson Wentz some XP with this year's offense. We needed to let everybody else on the offense hear what the snap count sounds like coming from him, get on his rhythm, get into his routine a little bit. Because, hey, it's the NFL. Anybody could go down at any point. So if we got to go with Carson Wentz, we got to go with Carson Wentz. Patrick Mahomes is banged up in that game. My guess is he's playing on Saturday. If he could have come out and toughed it out, then I assume 6 days later he'll be fine.
Saw a video of him on the back of a cart.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to go ahead and say right now, this is why with a guy like Mahomes or an Allen or a Jackson, what he looks like after the injury is not something I'm going to concern myself with, not because I don't think it is or is not serious, but because if I got a billion-dollar athlete out there and he says my ankle's sore, my man, I will carry him myself back and forth from the locker room. I'm taking every single precaution that I can possibly take with this guy, so I'm not super concerned about him being on a cart or not. My concern is, are you good to go on Saturday? Because the Buffalo Bills are not just breathing down your neck. And this is the second part of this one. Buffalo went into Detroit yesterday. Buffalo got a dub over Detroit yesterday, and they put up almost 50 points against a very good Lions defense. 48-42, Buffalo moves to 11-3. They are still two games off the lead of the Chiefs, but
breathing. What you talking about? They got a two-game lead.
I understand, but lead, if Mahomes is out for any length of time, doesn't feel like a two-game lead anymore.
You don't trust Carson Wentz to lead the team to a 2 or 3 point victory?
Do you? There it is.
I feel more comfortable with Carson Wentz as a backup as I have in the last couple of years.
Remember, I mean, that's all well and good. Is Carson Wentz Patrick Mahomes?
Backup had to win a game last year.
That's all well and good. Is Carson Wentz?
No, he's not. And okay. I'm a little bit concerned.
You guys have been routinely, not yesterday, you did cover yesterday, but routinely winning games by doinks and walk-off block field goals. I would say shifting Carson Wentz in for a whole game feels a hell of a lot more concerning. That's my only point.
Team of destiny. But Buffalo was spanking Detroit's butt for a while there. It looked like, man, this is going to be a blowout, and then Detroit worked their way back into the game.
Let's point out.
Yeah,
that's 12-2 Detroit. This isn't like they let Carolina back in. They let Detroit. Yeah, of course Detroit didn't go anywhere. But that team's good.
Buffalo really needs that bye. So they're probably hoping that Mahomes is out a little bit.
A game we're going to talk about later on in the show. The Carolina Panthers entered a contest with the Dallas Cowboys as a 2.5-point favorite. Here is actual audio from Dave Canales after the Cowboys beat the Panthers 30-14. Here's what Canales had to say. Oh, why is my... Oh. I need my button, Lonzo. My audio button.
You know what? I had the wrong one up.
That's okay. It happens to the best of us. Here is that audio from Dave Canales and the Carolina Panthers.
No, get those lights off. Off. Turn them off. They're too bright. Turn them off. Turn them off.
That is audio from Dave Canales and the Carolina Panthers after the Panthers, for the first time in two seasons, entered as a 2.5-point favorite. They get hammered by the Dallas Cowboys at the crib. We're going to talk about that game later on, but that's just one of the big storylines. And not that it's a big storyline because my team blew it, but can we give some love to the Rat Daddy? Spencer Rattler enters the game after Jake Haener sucked out of the game. Spencer Rattler, all he does is lead the boys down the field to score a tutty with 3 seconds left on the clock. And then the Saints missed a two-point conversion. They just decided, screw it, we're going for the win. They go for two in the dub, and they do not convert that. So the Commanders sneak out of New Orleans with a 1-point 20-19 win. But Rat Daddy showed up and made it a game.
What was the spread for that?
7.5 in favor of Washington. Rat Daddy makes it a 1-point loss. That's a dog. I'm telling y'all, he's going to be a dog. Keep an eye on him. All right, we got to sprint through the last two very quickly. Item number two. Glug, 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 glug. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Final Four will feature all four number one seeds, Nebraska and Penn State, win their regional finals on Sunday. They join Pitt and Louisville. All four number one seeds make it to the Natty. It is the 18th NCAA Final Four for the Nebraska Huskers. It is the 14th NCAA Final Four for Penn State. And two of these teams, Louisville and Penn State, are coached by women. Danny Busboom Kelly coaches Louisville. Penn State, coached by Katie Schumacher Colley. This could be the first NCAA volleyball women's championship won by a female coach. The only coach in the Final Four who has previously won a Natty is Nebraska's John Cook, who has four of the Huskers' titles. All of Penn State's championships came under Russ Rose, who retired back in 2021, so he could be on the verge of history. And by the way, Big Ten volleyball is electric. If you haven't checked in, Big Ten volleyball is absolutely electric. And a very quick item number three, because I do think it is worth talking about, but I don't think any of you care. We'll find out if I'm wrong. Dallas and Klay Thompson went back out to the Bay Area to take on the Dub. Those two teams, the final score 143-133. Dallas wins the game. That's not the news. The news is that these teams knocked down 48 combined three-pointers and have set an NBA record. Listen, I got a problem. This game was actually kind of good. It was kind of good. But I do have a problem. And I've said it a couple of times. The NBA is leaning on the three so much. Like, guys are forgetting how to set a pace, play off each other, get to the rim and score. It's just at this point, everybody wants to be Steph Curry. And there ain't but one Steph Curry. But Steph Curry played in this game. Part of the reason that these teams scored 48 three-pointers in one contest, an all-time NBA record. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, I told y'all that I despise clickbait journalism. I despise, and I don't even want to call it journalism because it's not journalism. It's media, all right? And while I will, with regularity, defend the sports media because there's a lot of people in it like me who actually try to do a good job, the problem is y'all echo and amplify the bad ones. And I'm going to give you an example of that with Heisman Trophy runner-up Ashton Janti when we come back here in just a minute. I am Rob Brown, the great Melanzo on the ones and twos. The Rob Brown Show rolls on after this. It is the Fan Upstate. Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night. Ashton Janti checks in second place. And as we talked about back in the first hour of the show, I was actually kind of impressed because the social media feedback was enormous, right? Like the fans came out and were screaming that Ashton Janti should have been the guy. Ashton Janti should have won the Heisman. And I'm actually impressed because on one hand, I told Madcraft earlier on the show that no, I do not think the fans deserve a vote in the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and my rationale behind it was because I asked a number of people over the course of a number of days, how many Boise State games did you watch this year? And the answer from most of them was either zero or one, to the point that I think if I asked 1,000 college football fans how many Boise State games did you watch, the average answer would be less than one. It'd be like 0.6, right? Because you had a handful that watched two, Oregon in the Mountain West Conference championship game. You may have some outliers that watched like five or six. But I think the majority of fans watched either zero or one. But that's not what this segment's about. This segment is about the fact that on Sunday, as I was scrolling through the social media, I came across a headline. And that headline says, Janti disrespected ? Running back says he should have walked away with Heisman. And I was like, oh, right? Because every clip that I've heard from Ashton Janti has sounded like this. This is him on ESPN being asked about breaking the all-time single-season rushing record. Listen to how this young man speaks.
In that game, Ashton, you have a chance to pass Barry Sanders for the most rush yards ever in a season, 132 yards, and the record is yours. What would that accolade mean to you?
Yeah, it would be amazing. You know, I've broken a lot of records this year, but, you know, I don't think I've broken any other records that have been around for 30-plus years, let alone by, the, you know, one of the greatest.
Come on.
You know, considered the greatest to play the running back position. So when I break that record,
hey,
that's going to cement my name in the history books forever.
Yeah. And for the record, Lonzo, I'll ask you, did you take that as like, you know, egomaniacal or overconfident? Because that just sounded like a kid to me who is appreciative of what he's doing and understands where he stands.
How close is he to breaking the record?
He needs like 130-something yards.
Yeah, he's breaking that record.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, maybe.
I mean, maybe. We'll see.
If he gets held by a defense, like I was talking about earlier, he hasn't played, you know, a really good defense yet. If they keep him away from doing
that.
I mean,
he played the defense of the number one team in the country, and he put a 190 and 3 tutties on him. So I don't know that I can go that far. I get what you're saying. He's only played, maybe you could argue he's only played a good defense, but against that good defense, he did 190 and 3 touchdowns. That'd break the record and give him some breathing room if he does that. So,
what if he doesn't? You know, then it's going to come back. You said you were going to break the record.
Sure. If he goes for 50 yards and no touchdowns this weekend, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to go see that's why.
If you look at your own average and you know how close you are to that record, that team is going to try to get him the record.
But my question is, from that clip.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him.
Okay,
being
me either.
It's confidence.
So I read that, and the headline was obviously designed to make it sound like Ashton Janti was dropping some BS on the head of Travis in the media, right?
Still, at the same time, if Travis Hunter said that, people would be going nuts. Oh, look at how cocky he is.
See, I don't believe
he's just... Because there is some people out there, like we talked about earlier, who automatically don't like Travis Hunter because of Deion Sanders.
I'm not going to disagree. But I also know there are a lot of people that are. He had Lil Wayne come up and hang out with him in the trophy, and everybody was loving it, again, on social media for whatever that is worth. So after I read that headline, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go find that interview. So I dug around and I found that interview. That interview went 5 or 6 minutes, the one where he said, I should have walked away with a trophy. Now, I'm going to play you the answer that clip comes from, but I want to give you some of the rest of the interview. Here was the first question he was asked. So that's how the interview started, and I'm like, wait a minute, that kid doesn't sound like he's a, you know, an egomaniacal dude. That doesn't sound like a dude that's talking a bunch of trash, right? So they keep going with the interview. And for the record, I don't have an issue with a great athlete calling himself a great athlete. I mean, it's this concept, because the one pushback I saw from a lot of people is like, oh, he's talking about how great he is. Well, yeah, you know who else was? Literally all of us. Literally everybody out here in the college football landscape. Why is it that we should spend all this time going, Ashton Janti, what a dog, what a dog, what a dog. And then the minute he grabs the mic and goes, I'm kind of a dog, we all go, oh, no, you're not supposed to say it, right? Like, I disagree. I disagree with that entirely. It's like Rashad. We had Rashad on the show last Thursday from the Panther Nation podcast. And I said, look, it sounds awful. It sounds dirty. I hate saying it, but it's also true. Andy Dalton being involved in a car accident was the best thing that's happened to the Carolina Panthers this season. Because you put B.Y. out there. B.Y. was ready maybe a few weeks earlier than you thought. The Panthers, up until this weekend, actually looked like a competitive football team, right? Sometimes there's these things that, like, you think them, but you don't say them. I don't know why everybody's on Ashton Janti's case about saying I'm a great athlete. He is. The interview continued on. I mean, again, sounds like a great kid, right? Like, how are we going about the, oh, hey, Ashton Janti disrespects Travis Hunter, says should have what? Okay. So I also want to point out one more thing before I play that actual clip. Ashton Janti showed up to the Heisman Trophy ceremony wearing Boise State blue and orange. In fact, he was the only of the finalists who showed up representing the school they played for in any way, shape, or form. They asked him about that. So I said, that's the guy that disrespected Travis Hunter? That's the guy? Turns out, he's the only one that showed up and said, I wouldn't be here without my school. I wouldn't be here without BSU. I'm repping the colors. So I continued digging, and I found the actual clip that Ashton Janti said I should have walked away with the Heisman. I want you to listen to this and sincerely ask you the question, was the headline justified? The fact that people were dropping headlines about Janti, disrespecting Colorado, disrespecting Travis Hunter. What about that was disrespectful? You're telling me that you sent a kid who is less than 150 yards away from becoming the all-time single-season rushing yards leader in NCAA football at any level. You send that kid to New York, and you want him to say what? Yeah, guys, I guess I didn't deserve the Heisman Trophy. I mean, I didn't come here expecting to win. I mean, I guess if you want false humility, great. I guess if you want false humility, awesome. You would have got it, but that's not what I want. Yeah, if I'm going to send a kid to go win the Heisman, I want him on a mic going, yeah, I'm trying to win the Heisman. It's the most prestigious award in college football. Whether or not we like it or not, whether or not we think it's a popularity contest or not, it is the most prestigious award in college football. Of course he wanted to win it. So when I get on social media, when I get on the websites or whatever, and I see headlines like Ashton Janti disrespects Travis Hunter, says I should have walked with the award. And then I listen, I just played you five clips. In which of those five clips did Ashton Janti sound like anything other than a competitor? Respectful? Down? Repped his school?
Did you find every clip, though? I mean, because there could be that clip out there.
The clip that generated the headline. That was the clip. That was the clip. It is literally the clip they pulled and quoted. And I know that because I did the thing I try not to do and clicked on that headline to see what got said before I found the interview. And I read that clip. And I'm like, you know what they didn't say? Follows up with kudos to Travis Hunter. I'm like, let me go find this. So I went directly to that was the interview that was quoted. And that was the answer that was quoted from him. This kid, as far as I am concerned, showed up, repped his school, talked about how proud he was to be a Bronco, brought everybody in his family that was healthy enough to make it to be there, thanked his coaches, thanked everybody. The only thing he said was, out of the minutes and minutes and minutes of audio of pre-ceremony interviews, immediate post-ceremony interviews, yada, 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 the only thing that maybe you could have even twisted, and that is what happened, to sound disrespectful was him going, I believe I should have walked with that trophy. That was it. And that is the only quote. That is the only thing about that weekend that got turned into a headline. This is where I start to have a problem. This is where I start to get heated up. Because we didn't talk about the kid repping his school, repping his coaches in his colors, repping his family, showing respect. You know who the first person out of their chair to shake the hand of Travis Hunter was? Ashton Janti. Soon as Travis Hunter's name was called, out the chair, walked directly over to him, shook his hand and congratulated. First one to shake the man's hand. Not his coaches, not Deion, not his family. Ashton Janti was. Yet, what gets sent out there in the social media versus Ashton Janti disrespects Travis Hunter, says I should have. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. In fact, he was the first one to show him respect. This is where I start to get ticked off. When people do that and y'all fall for it, this is where I start to lose my mind.
How many games do they win in the playoff?
Boise State?
How many do you think they win?
I mean, probably one at most, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and then people are not going to care. One at most.
Does not diminish what Ashton Janti is. Does not diminish what that guy had. That's why fans don't get a vote in the Heisman, right there. Let's take a break. Back after this, we got a few more things, a lot of NFL news and notes we got to get to. John Blau with the Post and Courier talks Clemson ball 1 hour from now. It's all coming up on the Rob. Big NFL weekend this weekend. Let's get into some of the highlights of it. We mentioned it back in the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know, which we do every morning at 7 a.m. As you're an hour away from work, we fill you in on the biggest sports stories that you are going to hear when you get to the office. And now we dump into some of those. Can you tell what the theme of the show has been so far? We jump into some of those. We talked about fiber supplements earlier, all right? It's just how it goes. We start with one of the stories that, right now, obviously, it's up in the air. We'll find out when we get to Saturday afternoon how big of a deal it is. But Patrick Mahomes left the game yesterday against the Cleveland Browns in the fourth quarter of the contest with an apparent ankle injury. Mahomes and Andy Reid both said that had it been a playoff game, had it been a big game, they believe Patrick Mahomes would have been able to go back out there and finish that game. Obviously, had he been a hobbled quarterback, it may have ended up being a different story, but he was seen after the game. He was being carted around the stadium. He was seen walking gingerly, et cetera, et cetera. Mahomes did say that he does not know what his status is going to be for Saturday when the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Houston Texans in a showdown in the AFC. And again, we've already talked about it a little bit. This probably isn't as big of a deal if either the Ravens or the Bills are, you know, either tied or a game off of the AFC's number one seed. But it is a big deal with the Bills not just two games back now, but two games back with the tiebreaker, two games back and have the opportunity scoring 48 points on the road at Detroit, one of the best defenses in the National Football League. All of a sudden, the Bills' offense looks like the Bills' offense is supposed to look. If Mahomes can't go and Carson Wentz comes in, the Chiefs become vulnerable and they cannot tie with the Bills or else that game goes through Arrowhead. Now, obviously, history has said it doesn't matter whether the Bills play Kansas City in Buffalo or whether they play them over in Kansas City. All that matters is that they play them in the playoffs because the Chiefs have won that game. But that doesn't mean I still wouldn't rather have that game in Arrowhead than would in Buffalo.
So you're acting like Buffalo is going to make it there because you're also forgetting about Baltimore. You don't know if those two teams will play before they get to the AFC championship game. I mean, so there are a lot of really good teams in the AFC. This is it. So the Chiefs do need to maintain their lead. In the last three games, they've got the Texans, they've got the Steelers, and they've got the Broncos. No easy games.
Right now, your number one seed overall in the AFC would obviously be the 13-1 Kansas City Chiefs. Buffalo at 11 wins is two games back with just a few left to play. Pittsburgh has 10 wins. The Ravens and the Texans have nine. Now, the Texans right now lead the AFC South. As it is today, the Ravens would be a wild card team if the season ended today. They would be a wild card. Here's what we know so far. The Bills have clinched the AFC East. The Steelers have clinched a playoff bid, though obviously only one game up on the Ravens. They are not locked in as divisional winners. The Houston Texans have clinched the AFC South because the AFC South is everything that we've said the NFC South is. Both South divisions are garbage. The Chiefs have clinched both a playoff spot and the AFC West. Obviously not the number one overall seed. The teams that are eliminated right now, the 3-11 Jags, the 3-11 Titans, the 2-11 Raiders, the 4-10 Jets, and the 3-11 Patriots, as well as the 3-11 Browns, are all eliminated from playoffs.
Which do you think is better, going into the playoffs, playing tough contests every week, getting into the playoffs, or having what Buffalo has left? They have the Patriots, then the Jets, than the Patriots again. That's how they finish up their season.
Honestly, yeah, I'd rather have that than a grinded out schedule. I want to go into the playoffs as healthy as possible. A and B, I want that one seed. I want that bye. Only one team gets the bye. I freaking want it. I want the extra week to sit at home and to rest up. Now, there are some teams that the bye is better for than other teams. Tough, hard note, like a team like Detroit. To me, the bye is better for a team like Detroit that is it's hard to say like a tough, hard-nosed team when Jared Goff threw for, what was it, 596 yards yesterday against Buffalo. But I'd rather have a team that I trust to grind the ball on the ground than a team that is a high-caliber, precision, timing-based passing offense. But at this point, with 17 games behind me, I want the bye if I can get it. Reality is Buffalo's probably winning out, right? And if Buffalo wins out and they win three more games and go to 14-3, Kansas City at 13-1 has to win two more games to lock down the one seed. They have to win a pair. Well, if Patrick Mahomes can't go on Saturday, Winning over the Houston Texans is not a guarantee with Carson Wentz. It's just not. In fact,
by the way,
if anything,
even if he can go, it's not a guarantee that they're going to win over Houston. Houston's playing a lot better than they were earlier on in the season.
They are, and on top of that, Kansas City, if I would say there was one flaw to this team, it's that, and Lonzo's been pointing this out since the middle of last year, this team just lets teams hang around for four quarters. They inevitably beat them, but they have been relying on dunks and blocked kicks, and doinks and blocked kicks, this season to win. The later you get into the season, the harder it becomes to have those things go your way. So it's not a guarantee. So Mahomes going down would be a big-time issue for Kansas City, in my opinion. I think that's something we're going to have to keep a look at. Spencer Rattler steps in for the New Orleans Saints yesterday. The Saints decide to start Jake Haener with Derek Carr dealing with a couple of issues after the game against the New York Giants last week. Haener starts 4 of 10 for 80 yards and an interception. The Saints decide to switch it up and go with Rat Daddy Spencer Rattler towards the end of yesterday's game.
I want him to do well. I really do. But I don't want that to come back.
Rat Daddy's not going anywhere. 10 of 21, a buck 35, and a tutty. That touchdown came on a pass with 3 seconds left to tight end Foster Moreau, the New Orleans Saints, because this season at 5-9, while they are not eliminated from the playoffs, that is only because they are technically, if they went out and Tampa and Atlanta lose out, which will not happen, still in striking distance of a, we'll say, questionably talented NFC South. And so the season's over for the New Orleans Saints, and they knew that. And because of that, they decide to send Rat Daddy back out there for a two-point conversion to try to win the football game. Rat Daddy does everything they ask him to. He gives them a potential game-winning drive. And then, unfortunately, New Orleans unable to come up with the two-point conversion. They dropped the game down. But in one half of football, 10 of 21, a buck 35, and a touchdown that gave the Saints the opportunity to win. Again, like, I think the kid's going to be good. But I think, much like Bryce Young, it is going to take time and is going to take franchise development around him. This team's just not good. It's just not good. You add in there the injuries to just about everybody. Chris Olave's obviously been out since he got murdered by the Carolina Panthers in that game a number of weeks ago. Michael Thomas left the team in the offseason and has not reemerged since then. Like, there's just, and Taysom Hill's out. This game is probably won by the Saints if Taysom Hill's available, but Taysom Hill's knees exploded a couple of weeks ago, and so he is done, not just for the year, but Taysom Hill put out a he put out an Instagram post. I think Taysom's cooked, and I think Taysom knows it too. He's like, I'm going to step away from football, take some time, yada, yada. I'm like, all right, dude, just thanks for everything, bud. It's been a good run. Sorry we couldn't get you a ring.
Will there ever be another player like him?
I mean, I'm not going to say no, because I got to think if you're an NFL team, you're looking for the next Taysom Hill, right? Like, you're looking for that guy. Maybe it's Travis Hunter. Maybe that's Travis Hunter. Maybe that's that guy. I don't know. You're looking for the next Taysom Hill, but there's just not a lot of them. But I also don't think the NFL, the one thing I will say about the NFL, with a very few exceptions, the NFL, Lonzo, does not like to experiment. They don't like to experiment with possibilities. The fact that Taysom Hill was discovered as a guy that could do a little bit of anything and everything is the exception, not the rule. So I don't know the answer. I do know if Taysom Hill's available yesterday, the Saints probably win this game. The defense did enough. Kept Jaden Daniels to 66 rushing yards, 226 and 2 touchdowns through the air. And again, if Spencer Rattler plays the whole game or if Taysom Hill's available, I think the Saints win that game. The point here is, Spencer Rattler went into that game with pressure on his head, and he performed well enough. He performed well enough. They just couldn't get it done. It kind of is what it is.
Then why did Jake Haener start in front of him? I mean,
Spence went out there last time, and I think what happened last time Spencer Rattler was out for New Orleans, the Saints were down, I think, 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen. They did not have, I think Kamara was busted up in that game. And I think the results of Rattler's last time out, based on the fact that the team, Olave was not in that game last time out either. I think because of the fact that Spencer went out there with a very banged up Saints team last time out at the start, and he did not, I mean, he played fine, but he did not shine. I think for New Orleans, it was just a matter of, like, let's see what else we got, right? Like, you're gonna cut one of these guys in the offseason. Either Rattler's going or Hayner's going. The question mark is which one, and I think this was just an opportunity. Like, Jake Hayner, if you're going to be the guy next year as the backup quarterback, or maybe the starting quarterback, who knows, this is your opportunity to go shine, and he didn't. Spencer Rattler's going to be on that team next year. I don't know if Jake Hayner will. Texter said, Rob, if Tim Tebow was willing to play tight end sooner, would he have been a better version of Taysom Hill? Yes! Yes, this is what I said then. This is why, and I know it's ticked off a lot of you, I don't care. Tim Tebow's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful guy. I promise you, I've spent more time with Tim Tebow than anybody listening on this show. He's a great guy.
You can't say that.
Why?
Because he's been in this area several times.
That's fine.
Doing charity work.
That's fine.
And there might be a listener out there who spent more time than you have.
No, I promise you there's not. I promise you there's not. Because when I lived down there, he came to our event every single year, and I spent time with him every single year for like 7 consecutive years. Tim Tebow's a wonderful person, and he was also a selfish NFL player. He just was. Tim Tebow could have been what Taysom Hill was, but Tim Tebow said, no, I'm playing quarterback and nothing else, and if I'm not playing quarterback, I don't want to be here. Well, he wasn't a good enough NFL quarterback. He just wasn't. He was fine. He was okay. He was okay, but he wasn't a good enough NFL quarterback. He could have been what Taysom Hill was, and I think Tim Tebow would have had a very long career being what Taysom Hill was if he'd have been willing to do that, but he wasn't. And that's the problem. So the answer to your question, Texter, is yes. Texter said, does the Panthers or improving their draft stock right now, assuming that all collegiates are healthy and putting Jonathan Brooks' injury at the forefront, do you think the Panthers should draft Ashton Jante or Travis Hunter? 1-2 with Chuba would be awesome, but we also need help on defense. That's a good question. Good question. And I think a part of it's a good question is because of the point that we made earlier. I don't know what John Brooks can do now, right? Comes off the ACL surgery, 2 games back, has to go get another ACL surgery on the same knee. The likelihood that John Brooks is going to be the same player is not great. Is Ashton Jante the guy? Or, and this is why I said a minute ago, NFL teams don't like to experiment at all. Would you experiment with Travis Hunter? Would you experiment with Travis Hunter? Would you try Travis Hunter and see if Travis Hunter can maybe be kind of a spinoff Taysom Hill, right? Probably not going to run the ball with the same power that Taysom Hill does, but that's not to say you can't line him up at wide receiver, at halfback, at wingback. Maybe you try him out at a flanker spot. Maybe you put him in a defense. He runs. Maybe he can be a two-way NFL player. I don't know is the answer. I'm going to tell you right now, the other thing that has to be considered is Carolina has already showed they are not going to tank, all right? Like it or not, they're not going to tank. Where is this team going to be drafting? Because there's a lot of 2- and 3-win teams out there right now. Carolina could be drafting 10th, 11th in this draft. Honestly, if they go win 2 or 3 more games, who knows if they're going to now? As Lonzo pointed out last week, if they can't beat the Cowboys, they may not win another game this year. So
and they didn't.
And so, they did not. Yeah, yeah. So this team that is currently sitting right now at 3-11, they may finish at 3-11, be drafting 3rd or 4th. They may win 1 game, and that might be enough to bump them down to 8th or 9th. They may win 2 games and bump themselves down to 12th or 13th, where a Travis Hunter and an Ashton Jante likely won't be available. So I don't know is the answer. I don't think we can really start to apply any thoughts about what's next for Carolina until the season is over and we know what the draft order is going to look like. That's the best we got. That's the best we got. All right, we'll talk some more NFL later on in the show. Coming up in just about 40 minutes from now, John Blau from the Post and Courier will join us. We will break down the Clemson-Texas matchup. When he does, we got to talk about the rest of the college football playoff bracket as we see it lining up for weekend number 1, and we will do all of that coming up after Lonzo seduces you with this sports flash.
I don't know that you need seducing this early in the morning.
I do.
Just wake up. Okay, well, don't look this way for that. 2 of the top teams in the NFL played yesterday with the Buffalo Bills defeating the Detroit Lions 48-42. Josh Allen threw for 362 yards and 2 touchdowns and rushed for 2 more. And James Cook added 105 yards and 2 more scores on the ground. Jared Goff threw for 5 touchdowns and 494 yards in a losing effort. Yes, he did all that and still lost as Detroit rushed for only 48 total yards. The Atlanta Braves made their first move of the offseason, signing former Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder Brian De La Cruz to a 1-year deal. 28-year-old batted only 200 with 3 homers and 17 RBIs with Pittsburgh. But the year before, with Miami, batted .245 with 18 homers and 51 RBIs in 105 games. Tune in this Saturday at 2:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Harvard Crimson. It's Furman versus Harvard, right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. Fan, Upstate.